or good evening to those others. I don't know. I like good afternoon. I'm gonna see if the men remember this, because I'm gonna be a poet. I'm gonna be a poet in the next 60 seconds. So I'm gonna see if the men remember this. I am finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need to be is to be heard. But to hear what you would say, word of God, speak. Amen. A matter of fact, that's going to be the title of tonight's message. It's not going to be word of God speak. It's going to be let the word of God speak, because God's word speak. When you open up the Bible and you read it, God's word is speaking. When you come here on Sunday morning, God's word is speaking. When you come here Wednesday night, God's word is speaking. But you have to, I have to let the word of God speak to my our heart. God wants us to let the word speak to our hearts. And Solomon, and as you see, I only got one verse there. I started with 7, I whittled it down to 1. Why? Because as we read verse 1, the Bible says, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, this place, and be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice of fool, for they consider not that they do evil. Before we go any farther, before I start diving in, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Christian Heavenly Father, I do come before you again, Father, thanking you, Father, for this word. Thanking you, Father, that, again, you preserve this word for us. Your word is absolute. Your word is true. Your word is sure. Your word is powerful. Power is in your word. Power than a two-edged sword, the word of God. And this is what, Father, we need. We need the word of God. We need to hear from you this afternoon, and, Father, not from me. So, Father, I just pray that I share this afternoon your word, Father, with your people. So, Father, I pray now that you would just hide me behind the cross of Christ, and Father, the words that I speak and the verses that, Father, I go to, Father, would uplift you, Father, foremost, and your Son, Jesus Christ. For that's the only reason, Father, I'm standing here, is because of what Christ did. So, Father, bless now in this time as we fellowship together and we fellowship around your word. For this I say and ask in Jesus' name, amen. Solomon says, keep your foot. Keep your foot when thou goest into the house of God. This building, this is the house of God. I know the temple is the house of God because God dwelt in it, but this building is the house of God. Solomon is telling us we need to guard our foot. Why we need to guard our foot when we come into God's house? We got this place is holy because it's God's house. God is holy. And so we need to be ready. We need to prepare ourselves actually before we get here to receive the word of God. This is not a textbook. This is not a math book. This is not a history book, even though history is in it. This is the word of God. You see, you go to a classroom and they teach you the history book. They teach you math. They give you actually what they're doing. They're just giving you knowledge. They're giving you knowledge. You need knowledge. But when it comes to God's word, we need knowledge and also we need understanding. There's folks who have way more knowledge than I do, no understanding of God's word. Again, God is holy. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. We come here to worship. How are we going to worship? How do we approach coming to God's house to worship? We come here to worship to what? To receive again the word of God. So your heart has to be prepared, because you can come here. God's words are going to be spoken. But that don't mean that you receive it if you don't prepare your hearts. Because God wants his word to go here, not just here. The brother a few years ago gives me a card that says, I think it says 16 inches or 12 inches from head to here. Yep. See, a lot of people got head. They ain't got there yet. I mean, a lot of people. I ain't talking about young folk. I'm talking about a lot of people who should already be here. But it's not. God's word needs to go here. Here. Again, God is holy. We need to worship him that way. When I started doing this, I went to some scriptures in Psalms. Matter of fact, I think all of my scriptures are going to be from Psalms. I got more scripture, but I just started off with Psalms. And I learned something I knew, but I didn't know it was in the Bible. I know it was in the Bible, but I didn't know it was in the Bible. But I knew this. Because folks, when I got saved, after I got saved, folks, and then I became a pastor, and folks would come up to me and say, you a pastor, right? I said, yeah. So you Reverend? I said, no, please don't call me. You can call me anything, but I'm not a Reverend. I'm not Reverend Harry. I'm not Reverend Scriven. I'm not Reverend anything. You can call me. You can call me Harry. Don't care. You can call me Scriven. Still don't care, but please don't put Reverend in front of me. And we're going to see why. We're going to see why. Of course, you might know why, but we're going to see why. R-E-V-E-R-E-N-C-E belongs to him, not a man. And we got a lot of Reverends out there who say that's what they are. So we're going to stop first. Let's go to Psalms 111. Verse 9.
I did 119 on Exodus.
Say it again?
I did 119 on Exodus.
Oh. But if you got your Bible, you can turn to Psalms. you can turn to Psalms 111.
I can do that.
Verse 9. You can turn to Psalms 111, verse 9, and you can read it up there, but I like to read it from the Bible. The Bible said, He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. His name is reverend. I know I was supposed to reverence the Lord, but I didn't know his name was Reverend, but his name is Reverend. You see, God is holy. I mean, he wants from you and I to worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Not what we think, how he should be. We should reverence God, not man. Again, Psalms 89. We only go into full scripture. Today we're going to start turning the pages. Psalms 89, verse 7. The word of God says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to have in reverence of all them that are about him. Reverence of all them that is about him. We should worship. When we come here to worship, but worship is receiving what God has to say. Worship is not just coming here and listen to the music and listen to the sermon, which you should listen to the sermon, but you must receive it. You must receive it here. That's the only way change is going to come. You can have all the knowledge up here and nothing is happening down here. No change. No change at all. No conviction. If there's no conviction, there ain't going to be no change. God's word must speak to your heart. God's word must make its way penetrate your heart. God says, son, give me your heart. We need to give God our heart. And the reason why, if you turn to Psalms 22, Psalms 22, verse 3, the Bible says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest all the praise of Israel, but thy are holy. We serve, we worship a holy God. God is holy. And when we come into his presence, Solomon said, we need to guard our feet. Solomon said, we need to guard our feet when we come into the presence of the Lord. And the presence, back in the Old Testament, they had sanctuary. We got churches and our bodies as well. But we have churches that we go into. We need to guard our feet when we go into churches because we want to receive what God is saying to us. Because we came there to worship him. We come to church to praise him, not the person that's standing up on the pulpit like so many churches are doing. I mean, it's sickening. Seriously, it's sickening what's going on in churches, as they would say. Psalms 99:9. Let the word of God speak to your heart. 99:9. Again, the Bible say for you and I, exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. God is holy. God is holy. Also, God is just. See, people talk about God is love. He's love. But they never say he's just too, because he's going to judge sin. He has to. He did it from Genesis. He has to judge sin. God is just. He wants us, when he saved you and I, those of us who are saved, he saved us so we can come to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, be conformed to Christ in you. He did always those things that pleases the Father. I wish I can say that. I wish I can say I do always those things that pleases the Father. I do most of those things that please the Father. I do a lot of those things, but I don't do, not always. Not always. And Solomon, again, this man had more wisdom than I can dream of. At this time in his life, he's old. He's like us now. He's old. He's older. Those of us who have aged, he's like us. He's old. He's older now. Something happened to Solomon. Could happen to you and I. I pray it don't happen to you and I. But something happened to this man of God. He was a man of God. Something happened to Solomon. And there's no more verse to throw up there. So that means you have to scroll through the pages. You're going to have to go through the pages. What happened? What happened to Solomon? You see. I mean, he said in verse 1, he said, hey, he said, guard your feet when you go into the house of God. And he said, be ready to hear, but hear from God. What happened? I'm going to suggest to you, I'm not even going to suggest to you, but the Bible is going to say what happened to this great man of God. So if you take your Bible and you turn to 1 Kings, these verses of scripture you might have heard before, but if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to start at, about this man, what happened to this man of God. Because remember, he wrote the Songs of Solomon and he wrote Proverbs. I mean, this he started the race that he was in up here to the top. He started his race like no one else started his race. He built the house of God. Solomon did. So 1 Kings, let me get there, chapter 3, verse 12 and 14. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. God has did that for Solomon. He gave him, he said, a wise and understanding heart Solomon had, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I also have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be no, that there shall not be anything among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou, he said, if thou will walk in my ways to keep my statute and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. But something happened to this great man of God. Chapter 11, and we'll see. And the Bible said there, well, the Bible don't say there, but there go I for the grace of God. You see. Chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. He turned his heart. He didn't turn his head. He didn't mess with his thinking. They turned his heart. But the downward trend had started before this here. The downward trend of Solomon started before verse 4, because he did not do what God commanded him to do. He did not. 700 wives, 300 concubines, he didn't do what God told him to do. The downfall train has already been started. His heart was turned. The Bible says, well, it came to pass when Solomon, that his wife turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. He turned his heart, I mean, to other gods, idols. Those folks worship idols. God hates idols. God says, hey, I'm God And there's none else. You belong to me. And here's this man, this upright man, this man who was wiser than anything. His heart was turned to worship others' God. I mean, this got bad because he went, he don't want to build the house of God. He went to build things for them to worship in. Solomon, this man, I mean. And Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zodians, after Milcon, abomination of the Amorites. He started worshiping other God. His heart was turned. His heart was turned from the true and living God. And the Bible says in verse 6, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David, his father. Also, the Bible said, his downfall started back ways. God said, I came twice before. Solomon, you weren't where you supposed to be. I came to the house, Solomon, and you weren't there. Twice before. Solomon, you weren't there. So Solomon can write this in Ecclesiastes because Solomon observed everything that you see in he observed. Everything you see, he did us as well. He not only observed these things, he did these things. So he can write to let us know. That's why he says vanity of vanity. He said all that stuff is vanity. He can say that because why? He lived it. He did it. He didn't observe somebody else doing it and say, see what that person did. He lived that. He did that. And he can say vanity of vanity. All that stuff is vanity. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Solomon said in the first, read the verse again, keep thy foot when I goes into the house of God and be more ready to hear. Be more ready to what? Receive God's word and hear. Because once his heart was turned away from God, he wasn't receiving anything from God. So he knows what he's saying in verse 1. He knows what he's saying. He said, you got to be ready to hear, not only with the ears, but you got to receive it in here. Worshiping God is receiving his word in here. We go to church because we want to worship God. We want to receive God's word in here so God can change us. You see, God can change us. Solomon, downward train. But you know what Solomon said in verse 7? If y'all got your Bible, in verse 7, look what he said. For the multitude of dreams, many words, they are also vanity, different divers vanity. But, look what he said. He said, but, fear God, he says. I mean, it's all that stuff is vanity. It is vanity. He said, but you know what you need to do? That I didn't do. You need to fear God. You need to worship God. You need to honor God. You see, Solomon, that's why, another reason why he was the wisest man. None like him. None ever since. He said, fear God. He said, worship God. We're going to turn to the book of Jeremiah. Because we have, as I mentioned earlier, about preachers and pastors that doesn't preach this. Jeremiah chapter 3. I love this verse. Again. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible said, God said, and I will give you pastors according to my heart. Not your heart, but according to my heart. He give us pastors according to his heart, which shall do what? Feed you with knowledge and understanding. The pastor is supposed to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Just knowledge is not good enough. We need understanding of God's word. And if we don't have it, God say, hey, I'm right here. All you got to do is say, Father, I don't understand. He's there to teach you. He gives us pastor after his heart. I mean, a lot of the pastors, they don't have God's heart. I call them names that I won't repeat. My wife said, don't use those words. I said, no, look at this guy. Got all this knowledge. I'm seriously, got all this knowledge, but no understanding. Man, if I had knowledge like that, I mean, but he got no understanding. God's word is not hard. You get people who twist it to make it seem hard. But this is a simple book. The Bible says that the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is simple. It's not a hard book for you and I. It shouldn't be a hard book for you and I to understand. Be ready to hear the word of God. Be ready to receive it here. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 21. We worship God Almighty, our Father. We also have to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, his Son. But Matthew chapter 21, that's what the Bible is going to say. If you're going to be in Matthew for a couple of verses, Matthew 21, 37. Matthew 21, 37, the Bible says, but last of all, he sent his son, saying, they will reverence my son. We are supposed to reverence Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are supposed to reverence him like we reverence God. Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. The word, the Bible said, that made flesh and he dwelt among us. We are to worship him. Again, let your heart be prayer. Let your heart be prepared to receive God's word. Not only hearing it, which is good, but receiving it. You got to receive it. We go into some verse of scripture that still in Matthew chapter 13. I choose these verses because it's the kind of heart that you and I, we could have. One of these hearts. We have one of these hearts in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 3. If you're going to have one of these hearts, that's why it's important that we should prepare our heart before we come into the house of God so that we can receive God's word. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 4. The Bible says, and when he sowed some seed, some fell by the wayside, the fowls came and devoured it. I'm talking about the word of God. I know he's talking about seed and the word, but the word of God. The word of God could be sown and something just fell by the wayside because we didn't have a heart to receive it. The Bible says, some fell on stony ground. Your heart is not prepared to receive the word of God. It ain't going to do you no good because it fell on stony ground where they had no earth for with that sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun rise, they were scorched and became, and because they had no root, they withered away. This is his next heart. Some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked it. Heart wasn't ready. But look at the fourth heart. Look at the fourth heart. The Bible says, but other fell on good ground. We have to have our heart prepared to receive what God is saying. Or it'll be like going to a college or a university and the teacher get up there and teach you something and you got it. You get an A, A plus, A minus. This is way better than that. See, you know, this is the word of God. See, we need to be ready to receive it here, not just here, not just listening to it, and we should. Even when you're alone and you read the word of God, you should be prepared for the word of God to do to work here. Just don't read it to say I'm reading it. See if the word of God changes you, convicts you, because the word of God would convict you. You see, and if you receive God's word, it convict you. If you don't receive it, you go on doing the same thing you've been doing. The word of God. In Hebrews chapter 3, talking about don't harden your heart. Because we can do that. We can harden our heart. You see. And in Hebrews chapter 3 saying, don't harden your heart. Because if you harden your heart, you're not going to receive God's word. Hebrews chapter 3. Okay. Verse 8. Hebrews 3:8. The Bible talks about harden. He says, harden not your heart, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. We read about God's leading his people out of Egypt. We should know that. God says, I don't want you to harden your heart like they do. They're stiff-necked. They harden their heart. They not receive God's word. Some of them wanted to turn around and go back. Right? Blows my mind. 400 years in slavery. 400 years in slavery. And some of them want to go back because why? They missed the watermelon. They mixed the leeks. They mixed all that. You got to be kidding me. You cried out for God to come rescue you, and now you want to go back. God said, don't be like those. And you know a lot of people do, though. We should have learned that, but a lot of us, no. We harden our heart. When you harden God, God's word is not going to penetrate your hardened heart. You see, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. But you and I need to be willing and be ready to receive God's word down here. We're not going to turn there, but in Proverbs it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issue of life. Out of your heart is the issue of life. So we need to keep our heart with all diligence. Turn to Ephesians. Again, God wants to talk to our heart. God wants us to receive it here. Ephesians chapter 4. Talks about how we should talk and what should be coming out of our mouth. And this is another verse I like. I like this verse. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That why? Because that it may minister unto the hearers. I mean, if you listen to some of these preachers' words come out of your mouth, you will go, Lord, strike him. Strike him. I mean, the filthiness that come out. I'm seriously, pastors in church preaching. Strike him, Lord. Strike him. Yes. The problem is they need Jesus, see. The problem is they're not born again. They're church, and they got knowledge, but they don't have Jesus. There's a lot of folks in church that do not have Jesus. And you got people sitting in the pews, yeah. You got to be kidding. Why are you applauding to? Garbage. Applauding to garbage. Some verse of scripture. I'm going to some verse of scripture now that we might be familiar with. Romans 10:10 again. Let the word of God speak to your heart. Let him speak here. Be ready to listen, but let the listening go down to here. Romans 10:10. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We believe in my heart. Jesus Christ said, all you got to do is believe on me. He says, hey, believe on me. And if I believe on you, I'm going to confess you with my mouth. And I did that back in 1980. I confessed Christ with my mouth because why? When the word of God was preached, I believed it here. And it convicted me. I'm going to tell you, I was scared. The word of God scared me because I didn't want to go to hell. Pastor preached on hell, and I did not want to go to hell. The word of God convicted me. Went up front. Gave my life to Christ. February of 1980. I became a new creature. Amen. That morning. And guess what? I went back to church that night. We were having two services. I went back to church that night. And guess again. Monday, I went to work. I took all them tracks that they had there, and I started giving people tracks. I didn't know what I was doing because I shouldn't have been doing it, but I did it anyway. I'm passing out tracks to people. Why? Because something happened here. I'm a new creation in Christ. The change, hey, when a person is born again, there's a change. There is a change. And my mind was right here. Right here. God changed me. And I thank God. I honestly thank God. Every morning, I thank God. 1 Peter. Got a couple more verses to go to. 1 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 15. The first part of that verse said, but sanctify the Lord your God in your heart. Here, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Not afraid, with meekness and fear. We need to humble ourselves. We need to be humble, especially when we come here. We need to humble ourselves. We've got to show humility. Because why? Again, like I said earlier, this is God's house. It's not our house. This is God's house. Even this temple belongs to him. See. I got a few more verses to go to. And we'll be closing. Remember what Solomon said? Solomon said, fear God. Reverence God, Solomon said. Because if you don't reverence God, you might end up like me. compensated. He said, if you don't understand that you need to reverence God, you're gonna end up like me. Now, I don't mean having 700 wives and 300 concubines, but sinning, your heart being turned away from God. He said, reverence him. You see, it's a heart thing, as Ed said the other night. It's a heart thing. A heart thing. I want us to turn to John. We're going to close with John. These verses of scripture, John chapter 4. We're going to close with these verses. John chapter 4, verse 20. For you and I. The Bible says, our Father worship in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto a woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not. What we know, excuse me, you worship, you know not. What? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour going to come, and it's coming, when the true worshiper should worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is truth? Word of God is truth. We need to, back in the Old Testament, God says, my people perish because lack of knowledge. There's people perishing today, not because of lack of knowledge. They got all the knowledge they can handle. No understanding. No understanding of the simplicity that's in this book, God's word. God's word, it's not hard. It's really simple. But to understand the word of God, you must be born again. And God's Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us to help us. And also to convict us of sin. Sin in those churches, don't be preached. They don't preach sin. How can you have a church and don't preach sin? You don't want to make people feel bad. Is God your Father? You dare to please him, not folks that's sitting out there. But there's a lot of churches, I'm telling you, pleasing the folks that sit in the pews. God is secondary. If they even use God's name, if they even use Christ's name, secondary. Listen again. Let the word of God speak to your heart. God's word is going to speak. His word is going to speak. But is it speaking to your heart? Is he speaking to my heart? This is his house. This is his house. What are we supposed to be talking about if not the word of God? God is an awesome God. God's word is, a lot of in the Bible says, a lamp unto my feet. I mean, what you want to say? I love this book. After I got saved, I fell in love with the word of God after I got saved. Didn't think about God until after I got saved. Once I got saved, I fell in love with the Word of God. I love this book. And I thank God that He saved me. I thank God that He's keeping me. And I thank God every morning I woke up. I ask God for one thing when I wake up in the morning. I say, Father, I don't say give me strength anymore. I say give us strength to get through this day. That's what I ask for. And I thank God He did. Father, I do come before You thanking You, Father, for Your word again. Word, Father, that is absolute. Your word that could cut so. It's just. Your word is perfect. Father, without Your word, I would be lost. I would be undone. I would be on my way to hell. But because of Your word, because I'm able here to stand today and say, thus saith the Lord, because Your word, Father, Your word saved me, because the word became flesh. That's Jesus Christ. Became flesh. Because of Your great love. Simple. You love everybody. You do. You love the world. But it also says, especially those that believe. Thank You. Thank You, Father, for Your word. Thank You, Father, for this opportunity to say, thus says Your word. Father, I just pray that You be with each and every one of us when we leave this place, Father. God, give us traveling mercy so we can get home safe, so we can meet again in fellowship with You and with Your Son, Jesus Christ. For I ask these things and say these things in His precious name. Amen. Amen.